Welcome to this week's episode of the Ultimate MMA Podcast. What a fight night we had last week and what a set of results we have to talk about. I'm your host, Jake Jones, and my co-host this week is the usual suspect, Sean Gilley. How's your week been so far, mate?
Yeah, I'm great. What a fight are we going to?
Bloody hell, tell me about it. Like, this was one of them cards that just went perfectly, in my opinion. I absolutely loved it. I was actually, last week, I was doing the North Coast 500 in Scotland. So it's a trip around Scotland. It's an amazing thing. Anyone out there should look it up and do it. But literally on the Saturday night, I was going, right, no, we can't do that this evening because I've got to get back and I've got to watch this card. And boy, did I. I'm so glad I did that. It was so, so good to watch. And as I said, overall, what did you think of the entire event?
The whole entire event. That's probably the best card I've ever seen in a while.
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally... This is what the UFC sometimes don't get down there, is that like a fight night can sometimes go a little bit, you get a few decent fights and the rest of it's shit.
Yeah.
Whereas this was all just so entertaining. And I mean, some of the stuff we've got to talk about here is just mental. This was one of those cards that genuinely just lived up to the hype that it had beforehand. And what an event we were treated to. Because I thought all the results went the right way. And in general, it was one of those events where you show your friends this event to get them interested in the sport. You want to see some good fights, you want to see a good card, check out this event. And that's exactly what went down. So we have so, so much to break down. And for anyone listening, this is going to probably be a long one. So pre-warning there, this will be a longer podcast. But one big thing we want to talk about just before we go into the podcast, we've got two announcements to make. I say announcements. One of them, we did want to shine on the situation which happened with Jessica Rose Clark. I mean... We're going to start doing a special episode about Chris Tyone. He's back at it again. Our boy. For those who haven't seen it, it's a pretty rough fight to watch. I mean, literally, her opponent was getting pieced up throughout the entire fight. It should have been stopped, and I think it was definitely stopped a little bit too late. That's one thing. We're going to start doing a special each week. Let's do it. Let's have a which ref fucked up on that night.
And yes.
So far, we've got Tyone 4 weeks in a row. As I said, guys, anyone listening, Chris Tyone, look up the recent cards, and when you see a shit decision happen, he's usually there. But we also wanted to shine a light on a bit something that's happened in, I think, the last hour or so. Sean actually brought it to my attention about Cage Warriors 115 and Cage Warriors 116 on this weekend. So there's been a lot of positive COVID test results for the cards. So a lot of the fights have been pulled. As of yet, Nathan Fletcher versus Lee Mitchell is off the card. Adam Venture versus Decky McLeagan is off the card. And the middleweight title fight between Natalia Fredericks and Jamie Richardson has also been taken off Cage Warriors 115. On Cage Warriors 116, Joshua Onwuadi and Jack Collins has been pulled. And so has Morgan Charrier versus Max Koga, the vacant featherweight title fight, has also been pulled. So, anyone out there, it's a bit of a shame that this has happened, but like I said, we've got to announce at the beginning of the card because these were fights we were going to talk about. But now we will start getting into our breakdown, and I think we've got a fair few UFC results to discuss. For once, this week, I think I pretty much called every fight correctly. So, I use this little app called Verdict. Shout out to Verdict. They are brilliant. They are phenomenal for sharing things as well, and in general, the way they promote their app is great. They basically, you get to look at the main card of a UFC event and you just pick the fights that you like. You pick the results of how they're going to win it, in what round, and you earn experience by doing so. They also sometimes do it for Bellator, but for this one, I think of the six fights, I called one fight wrong, which was Price versus Cerrone. Mm-hmm. And who would have known that was going to be a draw?
Yeah.
So basically, overall, I just thought, what a card. As I said, it was one of the cards that I felt the results went the right way, the way they should have gone. And in general, everyone lived up to it. Everyone stepped up to the mark and put on a performance. So thank everyone who was on that. But our first fight to talk about is the madness that happened between Ryan Spann and Johnny Bloody Walker. What on earth happened here?
Jesus. So,
well, exactly. Spann started the fight well, and he knocks Walker down twice. Both fairly convincing knockdowns too, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Like, Walker dropped hard on them and arguably could have been finished. However, the fight goes on, he recovers, and then Spann goes for the takedown. Bring in mind he's already landed a few already. And then this time, Walker rains elbows down on his head.
Brutal.
And Spann is just out. Yeah, mate, tell me about it. I mean, Walker landed some pretty good elbows to the side of Spann's head because he was locked up against the cage, basically. And I don't know if you've seen it, but that's how Modestus Bukauskas usually is finishing people at the moment as well. And Span just couldn't respond to these downward elbows. And this is what I meant last week. I think overall, Span has all around the better quality and could have won the fight all in all. But I'm pretty sure I said this last week that he may knock Walker down a few times, but Walker just has that killer instinct and Span tends to let his guard down. And he only lets it down from time to time, but that's all you need at that weight, at this level of the sport. And once more, this is why he got caught out. So overall, what did you think of the actual fight?
I think it was quick.
Yeah.
Especially for a light heavyweight fight. Johnny Walker, but like we said the week before, Johnny Walker had to prove this fight, and he went in there and actually proved it. He got knocked down twice by Span, but when he got knocked down the second time, it was they both hit each other at the same time, so yeah. They both rocked, and that's when basically that Johnny Walker just finished the fight well. Both went
Span
kicked
up. No, I totally agree. As I said, I mean, the first knockdown for Span was pretty convincing, and then say with the second one, it's more 50-50.
Yeah,
Walker came out on top. I think, if I'm honest, it was also Span's fight to lose there, because he was the one in the pole position. Mm-hmm. He was the one who landed both the knockdowns, and unfortunately, he just didn't have that killer instinct. But what is next for these guys? I don't think much changes, as they're both in the middle of the rankings. I think one was 11th, one was 12th. So I think I don't think that changes too much. But then, one thing I've seen online, which I really like, is the idea that people have called for Jiří Procházka versus Walker now. And I like that fight a lot. Walker's gone to 10th in the rankings, I think. Jiří's 6th at the moment, but he's only fought once in the UFC. So although that would be a step back for him, people spoke about Walker being the next guy to face Jones at one point. So give me Walker versus Jiří, and the winner of that can go on for maybe one more fight and then try and go for the title. If anyone's going to cause an upset, it's these guys. They've got that KO power and that unpredictable kind of style. As I said, if anyone's going to get a shock upset win, it's going to be these guys. Mm-hmm. Jiří's second fight against Walker, who's arguably one of the bigger names in the light heavyweight division at the moment. And as I said, Walker's faced a couple of losses. He's come back, got a win here. To me, that makes sense. To me, that's a brilliant fight. And that's definitely a fight that's going to be on, say, a pay-per-view card. And people will bloody tune in and watch that. Have you got any idea of who you think might face either Walker next or what Span might do?
I'm not really sure. Like you're saying, they're both in the like, top 10, basically. I'm really not sure at the minute.
Well, I think I agree as well. And talking about what's for Span at the moment, I guess Span's just going to have to recoup himself and probably work his way back up them rankings again. He's not going to be knocked down too much by it. I think he's still in 13th or 12th, sorry. So he's probably just going to have a few more fights in that kind of area. Maybe get Kutalaba or Ankalaev, whoever wins that. Either way, I think he's still got a bright future, and I look forward to seeing him return. But next up, we have another shocker. But it was only really a shock, because what actually went down, Kazmat Chimaev versus Gerald Meerschaert. Mate, I'm not going to lie, I was pissed here. Basically, hats off to Chimaev for literally destroying a veteran of the sport. Yep. The reason why I'm annoyed is that Meerschaert went to Twitter afterwards and said, "Oh, I fucked that one up." No shit, Sherlock. You can't go on Twitter afterwards and go, "Oh, I messed up that fight," after literally being KO'd by one punch. You didn't fuck that shit up. You didn't lose that fight in the sense that you let it get away from you. You got bloody steamrolled, mate.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, that's the only reason I'm annoyed, because fair play, Chimaev, mate. You came out there and you proved why everyone's eyes are on him. And I have to say, I think I'm getting convinced that he's the real deal.
Yeah, I'm a believer now.
Exactly. I think he will definitely beat... Well, I say definitely beat Meyer. I think he'll beat Meyer if Meyer is to be next. I think he could do the exact same and steamroll him. However, I think the top guys at the welterweight division may show for a slightly different story, but I really have to tip my hat off to him. Yeah. He's looking absolutely world-class at the moment, and I'm sure that we'll see the Meyer matchup booked again in the future. As for Meerschaert, as I said, I just didn't appreciate coming out there and then going, "Damn, I fucked that up." No, mate, you literally got beaten by a guy who... But much better man even on the night. Everything about him, like, Chimaev put in a fantastic performance. To kind of say afterwards, "Oh, I messed up," as if you let it get away. No. Mate, he went in there and intentionally smacked you in the face and knocked you down. You didn't slip up that made that happen. He pushed for that. Chimaev, good on you, mate. Very, very good. Well, next up is what I had picked for my fight of the night. And this surprised me because neither of these guys were knocked down or they weren't really hurt at any point. Cerrone versus Price. I mean, I could not have called for this to go to a draw. That's probably the last place I expected this to go, just because of how these two guys fight. But what we did call is the respect after the matchup. I loved seeing these guys standing together and breaking down what happened. I think they've both been a performance that shows why they are there and a performance that they can be proud of. Because I know there's some people talking about Dana saying Cerrone should retire, he needs to have a conversation with Cerrone, but I think he just needs some time off at the moment. I don't think he's down and out yet. I just think he's one of them guys who could be putting in kind of a top fight and potentially beat an up-and-coming guy. Cerrone's still a master of the sport, and as I said, I don't think it's time to retire. I think it's time to give his body a little bit of a break and then come back. What do you think?
I think that was an unbelievable fight. Like, I'm not going to lie. But you got to think, would Price win if the point wasn't deducted?
Yes, I believe he would have.
So, looking
at the score, the striking, bloody hell, I forgot the word here. I'm doing well with this. The striking statistics. So even looking at that, these guys definitely, I think Price did really get the victory. And then he's lost the point. It's a bit of a shame, but these things happen. I think even Cerrone kind of addressed that and said, you obviously want to go there and get the win, so.
He wasn't happy with the draw, like Cerrone.
Yeah, no, he wasn't at all. So, well, hopefully they get to run it back. I know they said they'd be interested too, and I think they'd be very, very worthy of doing it. And also, what I don't want to see with Cerrone, I don't want to see him become a journeyman at all, because I definitely want to see him stay in the UFC, and I think it comes down to a business decision now. Mm-hmm. Cerrone is a main card fighter, but he will demand a high salary. So can the UFC afford to put Cerrone in the lower part of the card, which potentially doesn't get the best return on the viewership for him actually being on the card? Cerrone's a very interesting guy, and I love him in the sport. He's one of my all-time favourites. But it does make you think, is he a co-main or main event fighter anymore? And if he's not, can the UFC afford the salaries that he's probably going to be charging because he's been there so long? Mm-hmm. I think that's what I mean. He's got to get to a business decision at some point where Cerrone goes, well, I'll either take less per fight and just try and get my wins up there, or I go for one big more run and try and go for the title again. But I don't necessarily see that happening. So I think Dana and Cerrone do need to have a conversation, but I don't think it's about retiring. I think it's about what he has in the future of the UFC. Well, let's move on to our main event of the evening. We both said this last week. Colby Covington is a serious talent.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think of the fight?
Colby Covington just absolutely destroyed Tyron Woodley. But I'm thinking Tyron Woodley's scared of something because he's holding back so much, you know.
Mate, I totally agree with that. I saw a really funny meme, which was basically, it was like Woodley standing there with a scared face. It was like, when your opponent knows how to block an overhand right. Because it's so true, literally, Woodley does kind of just rely on that punch. I mean, let's go. Apologies for that. Let's go through a few of the striking stats for this fight. So, currently the number one contender, Covington, landed a total of 232 strikes to the former champ's 67. Like, that already goes to show how dominant he was in this fight. Literally, you landed four times the amount of your opponent, who landed 67, which is still a considerable amount. I mean, he pulled him apart across the rounds, and I saw a few sad tweets during the fight where fans were literally questioning what T Wood was actually doing. Many were even saying they hope he's got a game plan, or they don't really understand what's going on because he just wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. And this is what I said last week. Woodley just seems too calm in his fights, mm-hmm. and he relies on that overhand right. It's really strange to see because Woodley can be over five rounds, dominated, maybe 50 strikes per round, and he still just has that little, it's not even a smile, it's just a calm face. And I don't get that. I'm not saying he needs to panic, but the point is it seems like he's not addressing the fact that you're getting fucked up over five rounds. Mm-hmm. And he needs to change that. And the way Woodley fought just allowed Colby to do what he does best, build the volume and beat the guy across all five rounds. One thing that is a talking point and is interesting is how the fight was finished. Colby literally dragged him down and I think he advanced a position to side control.
Yeah.
I might be wrong with that, but in that moment, something happened where Woodley cried out in pain and said he was hurt. He literally verbally submitted. He said, I'm hurt, and the fight was stopped. So in that moment, he had actually cracked his rib, and in fairness, the x-ray did look pretty bloody painful. I mean, Sean, you've been going through this recently, haven't you? Yeah, you've had the same pain, so we'll start calling you T-Wood now. And I think that is completely fair why it stopped. However, I think it goes to show at that moment that Woodley's head is just not in the game. That's not saying because of the rib, but I think the overall fight showed that he's not in the game at the moment. He doesn't have that forward pressure that he needs to implement his game plan. And at that moment, a lot of people are going to be eyeing up a match with him, because if they can get the opportunity to face a former champion and the way he's fighting at the moment, of course you will. Like, Woodley and Lawler were both these guys who have that scary KO power, which is why it's so hard to fight them. Yeah. But at the moment, they're both very gun shy. So, I mean, give me Woodley Lawler too, because if you ever want to see a fight where there's going to be no striking, no takedowns, or no submissions, it's Woodley versus Lawler too. Because at the moment, they are doing fuck all.
I've got one for you. No one's going to agree on this, right? What happens if Nick Diaz versus Tyron Woodley?
Bloody hell, mate.
Yeah.
That's a show. Well, I think it depends on if Diaz comes back at welterweight or middleweight. Because Diaz looked in good shape in his recent posts, so potentially he could make 170 pounds. Oh. Mate, I would be up for that fight. But I also think it depends on who they... Because I know they talked about Masvidal versus Diaz as the as a return. I mean, also, that's Diaz is going to get everyone watching. Diaz is going to either be the main event, or at least he'll be like on the pay-per-view card as one of the bigger fights on it. I mean, I would love to see that. Another thing I just want to say about Woodley as well, because he's openly said that he's not going to change camps, but he definitely needs some time off, and he needs to start changing things up, in my opinion. It doesn't mean that he needs to change camp, but it means that he needs to start adapting to the new world of MMA. That's 3 losses in a row at the moment. He needs to change some things up as soon as possible. As for Colby, he's just beaten the former champion. He went 5 rounds with the current champ, and he full well deserves to be where he is. Yeah. I know that Burns has been upset that he jumped him in the rankings, but I don't really get why. Burns is second, Colby's first. Burns is getting the title shot from what we know at the moment. And although it doesn't appear to be signed, because Burns has actually said, send me the contract, I'm pretty confident that Burns is next for the title, and then Colby will be the winner. Colby will get, the winner of that matchup. And then, in my opinion, Edwards should get the loser of Usman versus Burns. And it's as simple as that. The loser of Usman versus Burns should get Leon Edwards, and the winner should get Colby Covington. Colby deserves another title shot. I know, as I said, Burns has been moaning about where he's in the rankings, but hopefully Burns gets this title shot. And if he gets to prove why he should be a champion, good on him. Nothing else to moan about. I look forward to seeing what happens there, but that is our preview of this week's card complete. And I can honestly tell you, I don't really know where to start about previewing the next week's card. We have so much to talk about. And don't get me wrong, we will break down some of the fights, but we're going to have some short predictions at the moment as well, because we have so many fights. I think there's about 10 fights that we actually need to discuss here, because we also have the Cage Warriors trilogy coming up, Bellator Milan, and then obviously UFC 253.
Jesus Christ, man.
What a bloody week we have. Yes. I mean, we said this the other day, like, Cage Warriors, hopefully, obviously, the events get to go ahead, because obviously, at the moment, the whole COVID situation seems a little bit like it might pull some more fights. Mm-hmm. But overall, what a weekend we will have. For those in the UK, we're going to literally have Cage Warriors all day on Saturday. Yes. Mate, tell me about it. Get that bloody popcorn out. From 4 o'clock Saturday, you will not see me anywhere else in the world, apart from in my living room staring at the TV. Literally, as I said, from 4 o'clock, we're going to get Cage Warriors all day. And then when Cage Warriors finishes with their main event at 11 o'clock, the UFC is going to smash in there as well. I mean, I cannot wait for that. But I think the first thing we need to do is break down and talk about the 2 title fights at UFC 253. Sound fair? Mm-hmm. Well, let's go for it. First up, we have the vacant light heavyweight title fight when Jan Blachowicz takes on Dom Reyes. What do you think happens here, my friend?
Dominic Reyes wins.
Short and sweet. I bloody like that.
Oh, he's going to question me on that next week.
Absolutely. I mean, what makes you so confident?
I don't know, like... he was so close to beating John Jones, and he's got that on his shoulder to prove everyone that he can't be a champion.
Yeah, I think I totally agree there. I mean, first things first, Johnny Bones vacating the title is a blessing, in my opinion. He was still at the top of his game. He was still the top dog there. And now he gives the other guys a chance of spicing up the division. I think he was bored, and now the division gets fresh blood. And I've always said this, I think John's future at heavyweight is much brighter than it is at light heavyweight. He might have been losing his touch a bit there, so it spices the entire scene up now. I think the two most deserving guys got the shot, and I think this is going to be a fantastic matchup between two very, very talented fighters. For me, Reyes put in a great performance against Jones, and it could be argued that he's never really outright tasted defeat. Don't get me wrong, he has been beaten. I'm not disputing that his record says that at all.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that I don't think he's ever been massively exposed, and generally, I think he seems ready for the belt. I don't think he's really had that knockback where he's gone, I really need to adapt my game now. I think he looks very good all around. But then you've got a guy like Jan Blachowicz, raw Polish bloody power. I mean, I really rate Jan, and I also think there's no doubt that he deserves this title shot either. I think he's been stopped a few times in the past by guys with just scary KO power. But besides that, Jan puts on dominating performances where he once more proves why he's at this top level. Even against Santos, he basically dominated Santos for 2-3 rounds, and then he got knocked out. Against a guy like Thiago Santos, a knockout isn't... I think he can knock anyone out. So, I'm not sure how to call this fight. I would love to see Jan take the belt. I'd love him to be our next European champ, and I think he'd be a great champion. However, realistically, I think Reyes can get the finish on Saturday night, and I think he's the champion that lasts much longer at £205. As I said, for me, I see probably it going three rounds where they're testing each other out, and then I think Reyes potentially clips Jan and then gets the finish. I'm going to go round three KO, or round three TKO for Reyes. Yourself?
Something screaming round two.
Knockout. Round two?
Oh, I was going for the knockout, I don't know.
Well, if Jan wins in round one knockout, then we fucked it.
No, I'll be doing the podcast next week.
Yeah, exactly. No one will be anymore. We'll just give it up. In fact, do you know what? Liam will turn up to the podcast and we just won't be here. We'll set up for him and then just let him do his thing. But, well, let's talk about a potentially fight of the year contender. Mm-hmm. A scary fight between two amazing guys at middleweight. Someone's O has to go.
Yeah.
The current middleweight champion, Israel Adesanya, versus the 185-pounds tank. Mm-hmm. That is Paulo Costa. I mean, how do you see this going down?
Right, I've been talking about this all day, right? So, Paulo Costa says that Adesanya is always running away. So, I'm thinking, if Adesanya backs up, like McGregor did versus Aldo, and clips him, Costa's one who pushes, and if Costa gets knocked out by a back, then backstep back, then...
Ooh.
I'm thinking that, like...
I like it.
Yeah.
I like a little breakdown of that as well. I think there's no doubt that that's probably the way the fight's going to go down. You've got a guy like Costa whose forward pressure is so good, but then you've got a guy like Adesanya who can just counter-strike like anything.
Yeah.
So, as I say, I can definitely see that happening. For me, it's going to be so, so, so interesting because Costa, undefeated, scary KO power, and dominates all his fights by putting guys to sleep. But physically, he is the ideal. He's like a character created from Bloody Street Fighter or something like that. He looks fantastic and he has the skill set to match it. But then you've got Adesanya. Now, I know that in the last fight against Romero, there was literally little to nothing to see. It was a boring 5-round fight where both guys did pretty much nothing at all. So I think all the eyes are heading to Costa here. To rely on putting the pressure on and getting the finish on Saturday night. But I think people might be betting Costa to win by KO, but I think they're missing the fact that there's a massive difference in experience here. Adesanya is 19-0, Costa is 13-0, which doesn't seem that bad. But Adesanya's kickboxing record extends up to 23-5,
yeah.
So them put together is what, 42-5? He's a lot more experienced in the striking department, and I think that it's arguable, besides Romero, Costa hasn't really fought guys with this level of striking ability. He's fought Uriah Hall, who, yes, is a very, very dangerous striker, but is definitely susceptible to the KO finish. And then you had Johnny Hendricks, who was just, in my opinion, out of it at that stage. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see who can utilise. Is it going to be the striking experience of Adesanya, or is Costa going to be able to basically strike fear into Adesanya and go for that KO finish? I think this goes down one of two ways. Mm-hmm. Is Costa going to go in there, blast through Izzy and KO in round one or two? Izzy's been KO'd before in kickboxing, and I can see this happening again. However, do we see Costa go in there with that killer mindset, look for the finish, rush for it, and Adesanya counter-strike him?
Yeah.
Could we see Adesanya sap away someone like Costa's confidence? Someone who relies on their power and their scary kind of everything about their speed, the way he rips the body shots. What if Adesanya can dodge all of that and then just keep PCing him up? Throughout the five rounds, what if Costa's confidence just drops and drops and drops? Or, as you said, potentially, he goes in there heavy and he gets clipped. I really don't know how to call it, as I think these guys are both at the very, very top level and deserve the title. And I think the biggest shame is one of these guys, has to go. And I never like to see that. But it really did have to happen. This fight had to be made. They were always going to come together, and I think it's a rare sight that we see this type of matchup made. I don't know what's lined up next for these guys. Probably Robert Whittaker. I would argue that if they didn't give it to Whittaker, that would be a massive shame. Mm-hmm. But I'd be happy to see either of them guys face him. And overall, I think this is going to be an amazing fight. It's a shame someone's always going to go, but we'll have to see which way it actually goes down in the end.
Of course, do I draw? Imagine. Unbelievable fight, five rounds, draw.
Yeah. Well, if it did that, I wouldn't be too disappointed. I don't usually like a draw, but if it saves someone going and they put on a performance, then fair play. But I don't think we're going to get, like, I mean, Romero Costa is one of the best fights of all time. I mean, that was just scary how these guys just went for it, how no one actually got knocked out. But then I don't know if Adesanya's going to want that type of fight. And I think Adesanya's a very smart striker as well. So we'll really have to see how it goes down. But before we sign off for the weekend, we have some other massive fights happening. Firstly, in Bellator MMA, we've got Bellator Milan on the 26th. Fabian Edwards versus Costello Van Steenis. How does this go down?
Fabian Edwards, if he wins this match, he's got to get a title shot. He's a brawler, man. He's a hard hitter.
Oh, mate, I totally agree. I mean, I really don't know how it goes down, because I think Fabian is a killer and isn't 8-0 for no reason. But I still think he's got some adjustments to make to his game, and potentially a loss is what's going to make that happen. If he takes a loss, he's going to then go, right, this is where I'm falling short, and this is what I need to do to make sure I go, say, 17-1 in the end or something like that. However, I definitely think he could beat Costello on the weekend, and I think that's what he does on Saturday night. He deserves his first main event, and I don't think it's far in the future that we might see both the Edwards brothers go for a title in their respective promotions. I mean, I think Fabian's fantastic. I think Costello's good, but I think Fabian's much... I think Fabian is better overall, and I think Fabian can get the finish. But, as I said, somewhere down the line, I do think if Fabian came up against someone like Musasi, I think the fight's going to be a lot harder for him. I think he might need to take that loss for him to adjust his game. But for the current time being, I think he's a killer. And I think he's one of the most dangerous guys in Bellator. But another fantastic fight that's also on that card that you guys should just look out for. We don't need to break it down, but Akon Wanlis versus Alfie Davis is another brilliant fight. These are two fantastic, up-and-coming, entertaining Brits fighting each other. I think Davis he's from his own gym, but I think he does also train at Shoot Fighters. And I'm pretty sure Wanlis trains from Renegade Jiu-Jitsu as well. So these two, genuinely, I think Wanlis is 4-1, Davis is 13-3. Davis has this kind of karate, wonder boy, kickboxing style. And then you've got Wanlis, who's just 4-1 and just looking so, so good. He's looking dangerous in all his fights. He's looking so mature at this level in his career. So I don't want to see them guys lose either, but they have to face off with each other, and it's going to be a great fight. But next up, this is going to be a stranger part of the podcast, because we've got the Cage Warriors trilogy to talk about. And basically, I'm just going to fire off the top fights that I think you need to watch, and the people I think will win them. And the same goes with you, Sean, is I just need your prediction for this. We don't need to break down the fight fully, but we do definitely need to talk a bit about them. Now, although it's only going to be brief, we're going to make a note on every single little fight here. So firstly, as we said earlier on in the card, there's been a few of these fights taken off. One that we're going to break down was Nathias Fredericks versus Jamie Richardson, and then we also had Morgan Scherrer versus Max Koga. For me, in the Fredericks and Richardson fight, I saw no other way than Frederick winning this, keeping the title. We were actually in London when he beat James Webb for the title, and oh my god, he is powerful. Like, you saw the way he was ripping to Webb's body and just going for him. He's got that raw power in him, and will break a man down. So I saw Frederick winning that. And then, as I said, the Scherrer versus Koga fight was very interesting because everyone raves about Scherrer. Everyone says he's going to be the next guy to either join the UFC or like to basically push French MMA. And that was for the vacant featherweight title. For me, I actually thought Koga was going to win this. He's so experienced. He was 22-6, I think, which is like mental for a Cage Warriors fight. And Scherrer's, I think, 15-7. I know they've spoken about Morgan going to the UFC, which could have happened anyway. So maybe Morgan was going to win it, vacate the title and go to the UFC. But overall, there were two great fights on the card that unfortunately have been pulled now. Now, so the first fight that we're actually going to get some predictions for, the bantamweight title fight between Jack Cartwright and Gerardo Fani. What do you think about this and who do you think wins?
I think Jack Cartwright is an animal to bantamweight, 8-0. That's a crazy record. So I think if he wins this, he's got to go to the UFC.
I could not agree more. Jack is a beast. So a little anecdote here. My first ever MMA event that I not went to, but like actually helped out at and covered a bit of, was Cage Warriors Unplugged 2 at the BT Sports Studios, where Jack won the belt. This was last September. We were there. I was working basically in the corners where you would walk them to their fight. And Jack was this guy who was just this dark horse. He was a guy who replaced the, I can't remember who it was who pulled from the competition, but basically Jack came in as a last minute replacement, and he was just this dark horse, this 4-0 guy that not many people knew about. And Jack came in and we were all thinking like, oh, he's quite quiet, isn't he? Kind of walks around, head down, he's got his little rat tail as well, and he just kind of, he looked a little bit dodgy. And then, honestly, mate, so he walked to the fight, he goes there and he KOs Scott Malone. I mean, Malone was one of the favourites to win it. And he just took him out, destroyed him. And then he came up against Marko Kovacevic. And Marko was, I think, 14-3. A guy who's fought Nate Wood before. Marko's a brilliant fighter. And once more, KO'd him for the belt. And that was obviously in the final fight. It was honestly, like, just incredible to watch this guy go from an unknown guy at 4-0 to the Cage Warriors champion, 6-0 in one night. And then when he came out of that actual the fight, I remember saying to him, oh, by the way, mate, well done on your win. And he was so lovely. He literally, oh, thank you very much, mate. Like, he gave us a little hug and that. You thought, that's the mindset you needed. Before the fight, he had that killer mindset. You couldn't even speak to him in the waiting room or the training room. He wouldn't say anything. He sat there, he stared forward, and he was focused. Straight after it, he was the nicest guy you'll ever meet. So, honest, Jack Cartwright is something else in my opinion. He's at 8-0 now, and I think he'll go to the UFC very, very shortly and cause some problems because you don't get that KO power at bantamweight. I think it's a hard night for Gerardo Fani. Now, the next fight we're going to talk about is Samir Fadeen versus Luke Shanks. It's a really competitive fight. It's for the title, and I think it's for the flyweight title. These two guys are the most deserving to be there. Fadeen, the current champion. I think he remains the champion as well. I think he beat Shanks, but once more, a really competitive fight, and I think it's going to be a great one. What do you think?
Fadeen, I'm not too sure. I'm not going to be honest, I've never really seen both of them fight before.
Well, give us a name, Fadeen or Shanks?
Shanks.
Lovely. We're going out for the opposite one there.
Well, oh, no.
So I think Fadeen remains champion. You think Shanks takes it? Either way, I'm looking forward to talking about that next week because I think it's going to be a good fight. You should definitely tune into it. These two guys are good. And also, what I like about Fadeen and Shanks is the UFC does struggle a little bit with flyweight fighters. I'd love to see these guys go across, for sure. Like, they're definitely good enough, and I think it's going to be a great fight. But next up, one of the best fights, I think, from this entire weekend. Mason Jones stepping up for the vacant welterweight title fight against Jones. So Mason's the current lightweight champion at Cage Warriors. He's facing Adam Proctor for the vacant welterweight title. I mean, flipping hell, man. This is going to be insane. For me, because I think Mason is 9-0 now, or 8-0. He's a beast. He's so, so good. He's such a lovely lad. He's been on the podcast a few times. One of the show that I used to do. He's a lovely guy, and he's so, so, so good. He just puts people out. And I think that's what we see. I think it's Saturday night for this one. For me, Proctor is very, very, very good. And I wouldn't be surprised if Proctor goes and wins it. He's so deserving of that title. But Mason Jones, if he can go get both titles, basically what McGregor did. Obviously, McGregor was featherweight to lightweight. But if Jones can go do that, then I think he's another Welsh MMA star that's going to go across the UFC soon and cause some massive problems. He's a brilliant fighter. Who do you think wins this?
I'm going to go with Adam Proctor. He's 12-1 and he's a local lad, so you're a feast.
Mate, yeah, fair enough. You can't go against your own kind there, mate. But no, as you said, I mean, look at that. 8-0 and 12-1. 20-1 as a combined record. That's incredible. And I think the same goes for Cartwright versus Fanny. I think that's 17-1 as a combined record. There's some really decent records up for grabs. I say up for grabs, you know what I mean? On display, really. And I think these guys are going to be brilliant facing each other. And as I said, if Proctor gets the belt, fair play to your mate. 13-1, once more, the UFC's on the horizons for you. But yeah, if not, Mason Jones takes two titles for me. And I said, probably vacates them both for the UFC. Now, there's a few other fighters that I want everyone to keep an eye out for. You want to support the guys there because they are European, English lads, English, Irish, Scottish, Welsh, anywhere from Europe as well. These are guys who are going to be definitely getting to the UFC in the future. The guys who are dominating Cage Warriors, and these are guys who genuinely keep an eye out for now because you will know their names in the future. You've got Paul Hughes on the cards, Ian Garry, Jordan Vinucic, Oban Elliott, and Jake Hadley. Five fighters there who are genuinely going to be absolute stars. I mean, one of the biggest ones there, Ian Garry. The boy, he's brilliant. He's an amazing lad. Paul Hughes is the same. They're both guys who are undefeated. I think 1-6-0, 1-3-0, I think. And although it doesn't seem the most experienced records there, honestly, they've got bright futures ahead. They're going to cause some major, major problems. They're incredible characters as well. They've already got that star appeal to them. So just keep an eye out for some of the names there. Paul Hughes, Ian Garry, Jordan Vinucic, Oban Elliott, and Jake Hadley. Really amazing guys. They're all going to get the win, in my opinion, and they are all top future stars. But unless there's anything you want to add to that, Sean, that is all we have time for. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Ultimate MMA Podcast. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe to us, and be sure to tune in next week. We'll recap the results of this weekend's card and preview the next card, which takes place on Saturday the 3rd of October, where Irene Aldana and Holly Holm are finally set to face off. But also that weekend, we also have James Gallagher versus Cal Elenor in Bellator, a bantamweight fight, and likely one of these guys in the future, whoever wins that, are probably not too far from that title either, maybe a fight away from it. I've been your host, Jake Jones, and I want to say a massive thank you to our co-host this week, Sean Gilley, for returning. As always, mate, making it a great show, and what a weekend we're going to have. I know me and you, we're not going to get a lot of sleep, but...
I can't wait, man.
Mate, bloody hell, I can't wait for it either. Let us know any feedback you guys have for the podcast, and let us know which guests you'd like me, Sean, and Liam to speak to over the next few weeks. Thank you very much, and you take care.